Bibles this morning and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 will be where our text is. You can just go ahead and stand and we'll read the text and then I'll let you be seated. Colossians chapter 2, as we stand, just to honor the reading of God's word here, we're going to look at the verses that we find our theme from this year. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Thank you. You may be seated. Our theme for this year, as many of you know, as the banner in the foyer, as well as on some of our promotional materials throughout the year, has been "Walk Ye in Him," found right here from this passage of Scripture. And one of the great emphasis that we have for this year is on the teaching of the principles of God's Word. If you're there in Colossians, look, if you will, in verse 7. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been," what's that next word, "taught." The teaching of God's word is very much part of the ministry of the New Testament local church. And in Sunday school, we have just finished a series entitled "Established," that we take right here from verse 7, going through the core principles and doctrines that we would hold to as a church, just some building blocks of what we believe. And I've endeavored over the past few months, as we've just completed that series, to communicate what we believe. But not just what we believe, but why we believe it. Those two should be infinitely connected. What we believe, but also why we believe it. I believe Sunday school is a great opportunity for scriptural learning and discipleship. I heard one old preacher say, when asked if their church had a robust discipleship program, he said, "Yes, sir, we do. We have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday." And there's much discipleship that can take place through the preaching and systematic teaching of the Word of God. Now, this year, this morning's sermon is just a little bit different, but I want to lay a vision before you, if I can, concerning some things in Sunday school. But this year, as we continue to place an emphasis upon our need for sound Bible teaching, I am excited this morning to announce a new summer module beginning next week. For the months of June, July, and August, we will be separating our adult class into two in order to better minister to two different life stages, Brother Ron Dorman will be teaching one class and I will be teaching the other. Brother Ron's class will be called the Pillars of Faith. That class will be those who are in the life stage of empty nesters and above, those without children at home. And Brother Dorman, many of you know him, have heard him preaching, have heard him teaching. He's a great teacher, good preacher, and has served faithfully in full-time ministry for many years. And I'm thankful, Brother Ron, for your willingness to serve in this capacity. And so, Brother Ron, if you would just at this moment come, he's going to share with you a little bit about the class and what he will be teaching. So I've asked him if he would come and share. We'll swap to this mic.
We're going to tag team you this morning. But our adult Sunday school class, I've been praying since Brother Pastor Zach asked me what to do, and the Lord laid on my heart to do the lessons from the shortest man in the Bible. He's Nehemiah. So Nehemiah, we're going to be going through Nehemiah, and we're going to look in these this 13 chapters of this book dealing with finishing our course. We all have a course to run, and It doesn't matter if we're getting older in life, like many of us are, even though we don't want to admit it, we still have a course to run. And we have to finish our course and finish it faithfully. And through these lessons, we're going to help us learn that we can still be involved with the things of the Lord. We can learn to trust. We can work together. Lesson that'll deal with vigilance, being on guard against the devil that will try to attack us in our old age, that we're worthless and good for nothing. We're going to see how to have unity together. Steadfast security, and just right on down the line through the book of Nehemiah, be an exciting book to look into. Bring your pens and pads, and if you want to take notes, I don't know how to do the little flicker on the screen, so we'll do it the old-fashioned way. Maybe we'll have a treasure chest. If everybody's perfect attendance, we'll have a treasure. You can get balloons and stuff out of a little treasure chest and candy bars and stuff, but we'll have a good time, and so we'll look forward to starting that next week. So everybody just plan on coming to Sunday school. Get up an hour early so you can come in and be a part of it. It's only an hour. If we can't give an extra hour to the Lord, then there's something wrong with us. Right. So let's just go to bed an hour early, get up an hour early, and we'll look forward to next Sunday morning.
Amen. I tell you what, I got to be careful. I'm going to have folks in my class jumping ship so they can take part in the treasure chest over there. Love Brother Ron. I've grown to appreciate his sense of humor, and the more I get to know him. But Brother Ron, he'll be taking the Pillars of Faith class, the empty nest years and upward. And I look forward to seeing and hearing how that goes and the blessing that will be to you all. Trust it will be. And then I look forward to teaching what we're going to call the Pathfinders class. Our class will be for those who still have children at home and down. And so that's kind of where we're going to try to separate the two life stages, the empty nesters and up, and those who have children at home and down. And we also, obviously, with a focus on the young family, but also want to welcome teens and preteens to join in my class as we study the Word of God together. We call it Pathfinders because this is a life stage where we're still searching out the Word of God and still learning and still growing. In fact, really, you never really stop learning and growing, but still figuring out what it means to be a family that is centered around the Word of God. And so Pathfinders comes from the concept of the Word of God being a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so look forward to welcoming you into the new classes. I hope that you will be involved. Now, changes in ministry and in ministry programs often have an adjustment period, but we've all decided we're just going to skip over that and get plugged in right away starting next week. So I encourage you, get plugged in into your Sunday school class this summer right away. You do not have to be a church member to enroll in these classes. In fact, we have enrollment sheets there in the back with some pens there. You can sign your name, say, I will be here, I want to be here, and take part in the learning and the teaching of God's Word. If you want to grow closer to the Lord and be challenged in your Bible knowledge and understanding, let me tell you, you need to get plugged into Sunday school. I believe it's a God-honoring way in which the New Testament local church can instruct and teach the Word of God to every generation. So I want to encourage you in that this morning. In fact, the title of this morning's message is pretty on the nose, and it's this: Why You Should Be Enrolled in Sunday School. Why you should be enrolled in Sunday school. Now, as we look at this term Sunday school, maybe you've read your Bible cover to cover and say, hey, preacher, this word Sunday school doesn't appear in the scriptures, and I'll have to admit, you're right, you got me. This word does not appear, but what Sunday school accomplishes is very much a biblical responsibility of the New Testament local church. What Sunday school accomplishes is something that you and your family need as you live and grow and walk with God. You need to be in Sunday school. Now, we live in a day and age where churches are canceling services. where churches no longer have a Sunday evening service, where churches began to shuffle around things and get rid of Sunday school and get rid of midweek. But let me tell you, Foundation Baptist Church is not one of those churches. We don't believe in deleting services. In fact, throughout the year, we're going to add some through revivals and special meetings because we need more, not less. Parents, I'd encourage you, have your children that has already been in effect and will continue to be taught. Miss Heike Fuse will be leading that class, and thankful for her willingness to step up and teach in that area. That'll free up my wife to come and be a part of our class, and so I'm thankful for that. But parents, you should have your children enrolled in Sunday school. But make no mistake, Sunday school is not something that's only for children. A lot of times Sunday school, it's because of how it began and how it's used in many churches, can get the stigma of being something that is only for kids, but that is not how we should view Sunday school. Sunday school is for the young and old alike because every single one of us need to be taught of God. If you've come to a point in your life where you say, you know, I don't need to learn anymore, whoo, be careful, because you need to crack this book open and realize that you and I will never scratch the bottom of what we need to learn, what we need to know concerning our God and concerning His Word. Okay, so this morning, if you'll hang with me here, I want to give you five reasons. This is a little bit different than the way I normally preach, but I believe it would be something God's put on my heart this morning. I want to give you five reasons why you should be enrolled in Sunday school. You ready? Number one, because we need more Bible and not less. We need more Bible and not less. What do we need? We need the washing of the water of the Word. Ephesians 5, verse 24 through 26 says this, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let husbands, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Notice this, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word." Right there, we understand that the ministry of the New Testament local church is to be a ministry saturated with the teaching and preaching of God's Word. We need it. I need it. You need it. We need the washing of the water of the Word. In Hebrews 10 and verse 22, right there in the context of exhorting Christians to not forsake that assembly, in verse 22, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That's not talking about baptism. That's talking about renewing our mind and our conscience with the Word of God. We need more Bible, not less. We live and work in a very sinful day, do we not? The Bible says when God comes back, it will be like the days of Noah, where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. I believe we're pretty much there, folks. It's pretty rough out there. Just yesterday, I was sharing in Sunday school. I went and was going to look over tonight's sermon in a coffee shop yesterday afternoon. I took my Bible and my notebook, and I went into the coffee shop, and they were having a celebration of gay pride. You say, so what did I do? Well, I wanted to turn around and walk out, but I decided to take a table right there by the window so that every passerby could see this pastor with his Bible wide open right there in front of everyone. Let me tell you, we live in a wicked society. Many of you go to work and you brush shoulders with people who are not Christians, who use foul language, who have attitudes that are contrary to what God wants for us. And so what do we need? We need to come on a consistent basis and set under the Word of God to knock off the dust and the dirt of living in this sinful world. We need more Bible, not less. This is the process we call sanctification. Sanctification, being conformed into the image of Christ, my friends, it cannot happen outside of the ministry of the Word of God. John 15 and verse 3 says this, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." John 17, 17, "Sanctify them." That means set them apart. "Sanctify them through thy truth." What's the next phrase? "Thy word is truth. Hey, in a world where we are constantly told that certain sinful activities are okay, we need to come set under the Word of God and renew our moral compass and know what's right and know what's wrong. We need more Bible, not less. Let me encourage you this morning, as the world grows more and more wicked with each passing year, God's people, now more than ever, need more time in the Word of God than ever before. Yet it seems that the devil works in the opposite direction. Let me read you a verse here in Hebrews 10:25. We know this one well. It's one that preachers often bring up about being faithful to church. But he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I commend those that are faithful and continue to be faithful in that area. Be faithful to church. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And notice this, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what day is that? That's the day of Christ's return. That's the day when we'll be raptured out of here. Don't you look forward to that day? But until then, do we need less of the Word of God or do we need more of the Word of God? We need more. We need to be washed, be renewed in the spirit of our minds on a consistent basis with the Word of God. That day is coming quickly. Revelation 22:7 says, behold, I come quickly. And so we need more of the Word of God, not less. Why should we be enrolled in Sunday school? Well, because we need more of the Word of God, not less. But number two, because we need Bible teaching in addition to Bible preaching. We need Bible teaching in addition to Bible preaching. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, he said what? Preach the word. Now, let me just clear off a spot here and say we need Bible preaching. We need to be preached to. We need Bible preaching. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? That means it doesn't matter what the winds of society say, a preacher needs to preach the word of God. Because as the people of the congregation who live out in that society, who are being constantly pushed in a direction that is opposite the word of God, a preacher needs to stand up and boldly proclaim what is right, to push back against the winds of society. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. We need preaching. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. What does he mean? You need preaching. Don't underestimate the value of the preaching of the Word of God in your life. Don't underestimate that. The Proverbs 4 and verse 12, excuse me, Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need the Word of God to cut to the quick, to get down to business in our heart, in our attitude, in our spirit, and in our mind, and convict and challenge. We need that. We need preaching. What is preaching? Preaching is the proclamation of God's word, is proclaiming God's word, is very often consists of warning people concerning the truths of Scripture, warning people of the missteps that are there. Would you turn with me to 1 Samuel in chapter 8? Now, this is an Old Testament passage of Scripture that we see a prophet here, Samuel, and he's preaching. And God tells him to go ahead and preach. You see, that the context of this situation of 1 Samuel chapter 8 is when the people of Israel said, we don't want what God has for us. We want a king. We want a king. And if you know your Bible, did that go well for them? No, it did not. It did not go well for them. But they wanted what they wanted. And God comes to Samuel, his prophet, his preacher, if you will, and says this, now therefore hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, notice this, yet protest solemnly. unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king, and said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and will appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, notice this, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, notice this, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battle. We need the man of God to stand up and protest solemnly when we are making a choice to be like the nations. Don't despise prophesying when a preacher stands behind this pulpit and begins to protest solemnly. And begins to say, you can do this. You can do what you want to do. But you may lose your children. You can do what you want to do, but there's going to be grave consequences. We need those kind of warnings. Do you know what I find? And many times as I address issues from the Word of God in church, my flesh wants me to cower back and not get specific and not make application and not step on anybody's toes. But the problem is, if this preacher won't preach what's true, no one else will. We need the preaching of God's word. Man, there have been a few times, not in this church or necessarily recently, but there have been times in my preaching ministry that I have had to go to the pulpit with the spirit of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 2 and verse 5, where God says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. Sometimes we just need to hear what we don't want to hear. We need preaching. We need the proclaiming of the timeless truths of God's word with application to our lives. I was reading a book several years ago entitled Chris Wells' Guidebook for Pastors. It's a good book, deals with pastoral ministry, and he deals with the importance of preaching. He says this, listen as I read here, the present day layman is seeking a stronger emotional spirit in his religion. He is prone to de-emphasize the intellectual, it seems, that in recent years, our younger preachers began to get less emotional and more intellectual. Their sermons were less like a sermon and more like a lecture. We must be born again. Kind of the we must be born again kind of religion disappeared. We quit singing There is Wonderful Working Power in the Blood and started singing some new songs with a different kind of message. We became interested in something the people called the social gospel. The layman listened, approved, and started playing golf on Sunday. I believe that's the state of the churches in America. We need the preaching of the Word of God. Clear and unapologetic, thus saith the word of the Lord. And your being here this morning demonstrates you agree with that. But we also need teaching. We also need teaching and instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That would fall in that preaching category. But then he says, for instruction in righteousness. There's much concerning the Word of God that we need to learn, not so much in a preaching environment, but in a teaching environment, in an instructive environment. We need Bible teaching. Would you turn with me to Acts in chapter 5? Acts in chapter 5, we see here in verse 42, the ministry of the early church. This is a very special time. They've been persecuted, but they're keeping on in their obedience to God and their responsibility. Acts 5, verse 42. Just going to look at this one verse. Notice this. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to what? Teach and preach Jesus Christ. What does that mean? We need both. We need teaching, but we also need preaching. 1 Timothy 4, 10 through 11, Paul encouraged this young man entering into the ministry. He says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." And then he says this, "These things command and teach." And a pastor's responsibility and a church's responsibility, yes, is to preach, to herald and sound forth with pointed application the Word of God. But we also have a responsibility to instruct, a responsibility to inform, to communicate to someone knowledge of that which he was before ignorant. That's what it means to teach. You know, to teach, it means not just to learn something or to communicate something that the listener has never heard before. Teaching also means to be accustomed, to make familiar. I can remember growing up in China, in a church plant in communist China in the early 2000s, as my dad started Truth Baptist Church, I believe, in 2001. And I can remember in the early stages, my dad would be preaching. And mind you, the entire congregation, save just a small handful, would be first generation, newly saved Christians. Men and women, boys and girls who had never sat through Sunday school class of any kind whatsoever. My dad would be preaching. He'd be preaching a narrative in the scriptures, and he would reference another story. I can remember one time in specifically, he was preaching about something over here, and then he referenced as a parallel the story of David and Goliath. Probably one of the most well-known stories, children's Bible stories in all of the scriptures. And he was met with a blank stare from the congregation. And I saw it in his eyes. He stopped the entire sermon and went and told the Bible story of David and Goliath. What am I saying? I'm saying we need to become familiar with the Word of God. Why? Because we live in a biblical ignorant society. I was talking with a young couple one time, trying to win them to the Lord and sharing the gospel with them, and I made reference to the story of Adam and Eve, and they had no clue what I was talking about. This is within 5 minutes driving of this church. Wow, we live in a biblical ignorant society. So what does that mean? It means we need to teach the simple truths of the Word of God. We need to teach the simple truths of the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible teaching makes Bible preaching more understandable. When a preacher can preach a passage of Scripture and make application from a passage of Scripture of which all of the congregation is familiar with, that preacher can communicate so much more clearly. That preacher can spend more time on practical application and less on explanation of some simpler things. We need both preaching, but we also need teaching. It's God's design for God's people to sit under Bible instruction in the New Testament local church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16 is what we'll see here. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, "And he gave some apostles." He's speaking to the gifts given to the church. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors," and what's that next one? "Teachers." Pastors and teachers. For what? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What I mean is, Bible teaching is imperative to local church ministry. Bible teaching brings maturity. Notice here in Ephesians 4, verse 15, what does he say? That we may grow up in him in all things. He uses the term, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. That means maturity. For the maturing of the saints. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, we know this well. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know that next verse? It says that the man of God may be perfect. It means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Bible teaching brings maturity. Bible teaching equips God's people to serve in the church. Notice he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Bible teaching equips God's people to serve in the church. Bible teaching builds up the church. The word here he uses is edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means to build up. But I want you to understand something we see from Ephesians 4 very clearly. You never outgrow the need for Bible teaching. Notice verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. So the day that you are conformed totally into the image of Christ and supreme Christ-likeness, then you can skip Sunday school. That's the idea. Okay, but until then, you need it. But until then, you need it. And we understand that that will happen when we are glorified, when we are with him forever in the air. We understand that. But you never outgrow the need for Bible teaching. Bible teaching, we also see here in verse 14, it builds steady Christians. That we henceforth be no more children, he says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I find many churchgoers today in America are adamant about what they believe, but they don't know what it is that they believe. Don't be tossed about. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In our theme verse in Colossians 2, 6 through 9, he says, rooted and built up and established in the faith. We need steady Christians, and Christians need to be steady. Why should you enroll in Sunday school? Well, because you need more Bible, not less. Because we need Bible teaching in addition to Bible preaching. Number three, because we need a time and a place to ask questions. We need a time and a place to ask questions. The interesting study this week in the Gospels, we find over 200 times the phrase, Jesus answering said. Over 200 times in the Gospels. Or Jesus answered them saying. Man, Jesus preached to the crowds. We know that. We've read the Gospels. We understand that he preached to the crowds. But he also taught his disciples in a smaller, closed group setting and often fielded their questions. Asking is a great way to learn. Asking questions is a great way to expand your understanding. In the Gospels, over 160 times, we see the words, asked him. They asked Jesus many questions. Let me give you a few examples here. Matthew 17 and verse 10, and the disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? Mark 4:10, and when he was alone, they that were about him and with the 12 asked of him the parable. Mark 9 in verse 11, and they said unto him, saying, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? Mark 9:28, and when he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Mark 10:10, in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same manner. Mark 13:3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. Luke 3:9-10, and now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Luke 8:9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Luke 18:18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? John 9:2, and his disciples asked him, saying, master, who did this sin, his man or his parents, that he was born blind? I think you get the point. Jesus taught by answering questions. And I believe we learn if we have a space, if we have a time, if we have a place to where which we can interject and ask a question. So what do you mean? What do you mean by, what does that mean? So how does this affect? We need a time and a place to ask questions and to learn together. As many of you know, in my Sunday school class, it's my habit at the end to have an open time of, does anyone have any questions over what we've covered or anything else? And I believe there have been times in which the questions that were asked exposed the need to go into learn about a specific issue. We need a time and a place to ask questions and learn together. Why should we be enrolled in Sunday school? Well, because we need more Bible and not less. Number two, because we need Bible teaching in addition to Bible preaching. Number three, because we need a time and a place to ask questions. But number four, because we need fellowship and interaction with the church body. When we come together for church, let's just be honest, the main thing is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That is number one, and that will always be number one. That is the main thing in church ministry, teaching and preaching the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Preaching and teaching should be number one, but you need a church family more than, but you need a church family for more than preaching and teaching. You need that relationship. You need godly fellowship. That is a God-created and designed need of every child of God. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. We need fellowship. You need the godly fellowship of like-minded Christians. Your young people need to be around godly men and women. Did you know I never was a part of any youth group? I grew up on the mission field. We were in a pioneering day and age in the church. About the time I left, there was enough young people for a youth group. That's how it worked. And I turned out all right. But now I'm thinking maybe that's not a good example here, because you're looking at me thinking, well, you know. But you know what happened? As a young person, I didn't have a youth group, but you know what I did? I came and I sat and I listened to the adult conversations of godly men and godly women in that church, and I grew to appreciate the need to live right and to follow their example. And just because we do not have a class specifically geared for whatever demographic you may be seeking after does not mean that your family cannot benefit from sitting under sound teaching and spending time with Christians. You need the fellowship. We need the accountability of the church relationship. In Hebrews 10:24, he says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need, part of coming together and congregating as a church is to be together, to be accountable to one another, and to provoke one another to do right and to have the right spirit and attitude. That is why live stream will never replace physical meeting together as a church. We need the accountability of a church relation. We need the influence of godly people in our life. We understand the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners, but we also understand iron sharpeneth iron. We need that. You need to spend time with your church to be a like-minded member of your church. Let me challenge you with this thought this morning. If you come in only for the 11 a.m. service, you are shortchanging God's design for the church's role in your life. Yeah. If you come in just before we begin and leave right after we dismiss, you're missing out on God's design of fellowship, God's design of interaction, God's design for the New Testament local church. Why should you be enrolled in Sunday school? Well, because we need more Bible, not less. Because we need Bible teaching in addition to Bible preaching. Because we need a time and a place to ask questions. Because we need fellowship and interaction with the church body. And lastly, because sleeping in on Sunday morning is overrated. And if you'll let me take a verse totally out of context. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7, it says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, right? Missing a little bit of sleep to be involved in the church's ability to minister to you and to teach and to fellowship with you is well worth an hour of sleep. If an hour of sleep is more precious to you than being fully engaged in the work of God at church, there's other issues probably in your heart and your spirit that may need to be addressed. Colossians 2 and verse 6 through 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'm excited what God has led us to do this summer. I encourage you to jump right in and find your place in Sunday school. We have sign-up sheets there in the back where you can sign up and enroll in your respective class. I trust that you will be encouraged and you might just learn something about